From the Palestine News Network, I'm Kristen S. with This Week in Review. It's the 12th of February. Imports into the Strip are largely banned as the crossings remain closed. The ongoing negotiations between the Hamas party and the Israelis for a truce via Egyptian mediators should have them open, along with a lifting of the siege. For the first time in 3 years, flowers were exported out of the Strip. Despite the partial openings, the United Nations continues to report that the aid being allowed in is insufficient. While Gaza City journalist Iman Muhammad notes that for most people who became dependent on aid during 2.5 years of siege remain without.
The thing is, people sometimes mix between the aids that came for the people who lost their houses, who lost their relatives, or anything related to the aftermath story after the war. But there is a different kind of people who are actually suffering before the war, which would mean most of the people living in Gaza Strip. And these people still have no supplies, no enough food supplies, no enough medical supplies, no enough any kind of supplies for their daily life. They have supplies between here and there, but it's not never enough. It's like giving them their share for a whole week, but on a whole month, like giving it in a part, which means nothing. The thing is, the markets are still empty. They still depend on the canned food. They still depend on any kind of food, no matter what the quality was. But the thing is, these people are still suffering under the siege. The siege is still ongoing. It didn't stop. The stop of the war itself didn't mean the stop of the siege. So this is two different parts of the catastrophe in Gaza. The water is still in a big risk. They can't clean it up. They can't whatever they need to make it available for the human usage. They can't do that. So they are only suffering with a little amount of supplies, food supplies or any kind of other supplies, and a little amount of medical supplies. And knowing that so many helping and aid supplies entered Gaza in the past week, but it stopped again. So this stopping process is delaying everything. That's the thing, that every time they give something, it's just to cover a hole, a small hole in a big one. So it means nothing.
Thank you for taking your time to speak with us today, Imam Muhammad Min Gaza City. I want to ask you, there's a lot of talk, of course, about this so-called ceasefire. And yes, when you look at the reality of it, the Israeli forces and administration remain, the occupiers still keep the Gaza Strip under siege, as you were just talking about. What does the term ceasefire mean between the occupied and the occupier in this situation?
Well, I think in Gaza, especially because Gaza is very different than any other country, it means like it stopped the war itself. That's it. It doesn't mean to stop the killing. It doesn't mean to stop the individually killing, like to sniper someone or to hit a missile somewhere, to cause casualties, to cause injuries, to cause the destruction of any houses. But it means to stop the attacks that were going on in the past 3 weeks of the war. It means like to stop it for some kind of time, like maybe 1 day, maybe 1 week. You never know. It doesn't have conditions, it doesn't have terms, it doesn't have rules, and even if it does, we know that it will be broke anyway, so it doesn't matter much. But the thing is, they keep on saying there is some kind of ceasefire, and that ceasefire does not include killing anyone who's on the borders or anyone who's living near the borders or anyone who's who might be targeted, like last week there was an airstrike on the south, which was in the ceasefire time. So it doesn't mean much as it means to stop the attacks, the continued attacks on Gaza that were going on. That I think, in my opinion, that what it means, because we keep on seeing these signs of stop the war or stop the exchanging fire, the clash between Palestinians and Israelis. The thing is, even if the rockets stop, the Israelis won't stop. And even if the Israelis stop, the firing rockets from Gaza won't stop.
And what about the talks that are going on in Cairo right now that are for a longer term truce, as they're calling it, in order to impose some conditions on the Israelis, conditions that include lifting the siege, opening the crossings, the same conditions that were in place for years before the major attacks.
You said it yourself. It was placed once before, and it was they broke it anyway. So they are trying. They are. We hear the normal citizen in Gaza Strip only can afford to hear what is going on in Cairo, what is going on in Egypt. But you can never know. It's something that it can happen in one day, like the attacks. When the attacks started, it just started in 1 minute. Nobody knew about it. Nobody had any kind of previous knowledge about what's going to happen or what's going on. So these talks in Cairo are meant to stop what is going on in Gaza, to change something. They are putting effort, they are putting so many things, but I see that there are so many things that can stop this kind of talk. The Fatah and Hamas conflict and the big issue between the Israeli and Palestinians. So it's still going on, but no one knows what will happen after that. Maybe they will open the borders for one day, for 1 week, for 1 month, like the previous truce that was going on between Hamas and Israelis. So we can only afford to wait and see, because that's the only option.
Iman Hamad, I want to ask you just one final question, which is, of course, the Israeli elections for prime minister have gotten a lot of press in the last couple of days. And here in the West Bank, people in general don't think it makes any difference who won. And other people are making statements that are saying things like the Israelis voted for war, the Israelis voted for violence, etc. Is there any palpable difference in the Gaza Strip as far as people are concerned? Were people paying attention? Did they think it was going to make any difference?
It wasn't that important this year as much as it was in the previous election that they had. Because this year, you can see that the options are still between the war and the truce. And we still don't know, even if someone said, I don't want to make war, is he going to come to the chair of ruling this country or that country and then say, okay, I have to start a war? Like, people lost so much trust in the system and in the government, especially after the clash between the Palestinians and the Palestinians from Hamas and Fatah. So they don't know about the Israelis. For the Israelis, it's much worse because they never know. These Israelis have some kind of elections, but still they will manage to support each other in a way that will damage the Palestinian-Israeli relation. That's what always happens. So people weren't interested in watching any kind of the election news or just to hear about it. They were only interested in the result, not thinking that it can affect the Palestinian situation, because it had never did that. So why now? It will make no sense. It will make no difference. And the thing is, the Israelis are now more occupied with electing their government and whatever, but the Palestinians have worse and more deep concerns that they are thinking about. The war in Gaza made so much destruction that some people maybe do not have TV or radio even to listen to the news about the Israeli election. So it made like this kind of, it made Gaza more isolated, and now people really don't care.
Thank you so much. It was really a pleasure to talk to you this morning. Iman Hamad, journalist from Gaza City.
For the first time in 3 years, the Israelis lifted the ban on the export of 25,000 flowers from the Gaza Strip to Europe. But this is part of the same game that has the Israelis saying things like they will release 500 Palestinian political prisoners as a goodwill gesture to the Egyptian president when the captured Israeli soldier is exchanged as part of the Gaza ceasefire. Owner of the Garden Green Market in Rafah, Majid Abu Hadid, says it is all a waste, a loss, and pure propaganda.
أنه هذا الموضوع فاشل جدا وهذا بس للدعاية والإعلام لأنه الحين موسم التصدير في نهايته.
This is a fake. The issue is being used as propaganda for the media. The export season is at an end, and the sector was so damaged anyway by siege and war.
بسبب إنه ضررنا وسبب إنه ما صدرنا. أجوا قدموا لنا مساعدات اللي هي أشتال وعبارة عن أشتال وأدوية وكيماويات. وشوية عمال، يعني قدموا لنا تقريبا نصف التكلفة تاعت المشروع.
The Europeans gave us aid last year because we were harmed, so they gave us aid for plants, fertilizers, pesticides, and a few workers. They gave us nearly half of our expenses for this project, but unfortunately, we put in the same amount ourselves, and we didn't get anything from it since the start of the season. We wasted 2.5 months.
مشرفين على بداية نهاية التصدير. يعني إحنا عادة بنوقف تصدير من 1/4.
We are at the start of the end of the export season. Usually we stop exporting at the end of April, and so we only have 1 month. And that month is not long enough for us to put in all of our efforts to take care of the farmland and to use the pesticides and bring workers. Because the work stopped before. We lost all hope. Because roses require full attention, the flowers need total care, and we didn't care for them properly because of the war. And we didn't want to spend our money on them during war and closure. Not during that time, not for nothing. And farmers in general are bankrupt now. They weren't able to be part of the resistance to the siege in this way. They weren't able to resist. The people weren't able to use the pesticides and work and pay money and in the end get nothing. They cannot. They lost all of their money during the war and before the war. Since the beginning of the start of Hamas, the Israelis didn't let us export any flowers. First of all, what they're saying isn't true. Bakar came and picked up the flowers, but these flowers have no benefit for the farmers. They're farmed out. We didn't pick them from the start of the export season, and also the produce isn't fit. It isn't acceptable. If we export now, we will lose money on shipping and contracts. There is no use for this. There is no use for export at this time. This is just a big loss. You're listening to This Week in Review on the Palestine News Network. Successfully prosecuting the Israelis for war crimes this time stands a good chance due to the scale of the recent attacks on the Gaza Strip and the hours of direct footage filmed, says Professor of Politics at Gaza's El Azhar University, Dr. Abu Sada.
Dr. Abu Sada, you are a professor of comparative politics at El Azhar University in Gaza City. I want to ask you about the status of the current war crimes charges against the Israeli administration.
Well, during the 3 weeks war on the Gaza Strip, Israel committed many crimes against the Palestinians. One-third of the Palestinians who were killed were children under the age of 15. About 15% of those who were killed were women. So even though Israel is always claiming that these areas were targeted because they were militant, but I believe that, I'm very confident of that, that international law and the 4th Geneva Convention basically says that any country, when it is engaging in warfare, it must avoid killing or targeting civilians. It seems to me that in many instances, like Al-Fakhoura, the UN Al-Fakhoura school, in which 43 people were killed, they all were civilians. Israel knew that that was a civilian UN compound. The UN flag was there, and they targeted the area and killed 43 Palestinian civilians. In many of these instances and many of these cases, I think it was clear that Israel was targeting Palestinian civilians and civilian infrastructure.
And let me ask you, why is it that not everything committed by the Israelis is held accountable in an international court of law?
I think there are two reasons for that. One political and the other one is a legal one. The political one is that what we have seen over the past 60 years is a tremendous support from the West, and mainly from the United States and Europe towards Israel. The U.S. and Europe do not want to bring criminal charges against Israel in the International Criminal Court. Israel and Jews who were subjected to torture and killing under the Nazis during World War II, the world does not want to see the same thing happening to the Israelis. But the other thing, I think, which is a legal point, Israel is not a signatory to the International Crime Tribunal, and that's why it's hard to bring a case against Israel in the court. But I believe that there are now many efforts being made by human rights activists in Europe and in the Arab world. They are trying to bring charges against Israeli officers and against Israeli officials who basically gave the orders for the killing and for the shooting and for targeting the Palestinian civilians. I believe that this time there might be a case against Israel and against its crimes in the Gaza.
And is that because this time it is more clear that they violated an international law that people find more acceptable to prosecute?
I believe so, because this is the major war has been inflicted on the Palestinians since 1948. We witnessed the first intifada in 1987, the second intifada in late 2000, but nothing like that happened over the previous cases. This war was very obvious. The number of Palestinians who were killed, injured, the number of destruction on Palestinian civilian houses and infrastructure, it's very clear. And I think thanks to the media, who basically, they were an eyewitness to many of these Israeli crimes, they were broadcasting live basically shows and live pictures from the Gaza Strip, showing the whole world what is going on in the Gaza Strip. I think that's what makes this case a different one from previous cases.
You're talking about Al Arabiya and Al Jazeera, of course, because the international press was banned from entering the Gaza Strip for that very reason, because the Israelis didn't want the world to see what was happening. Well, let me ask you one more question. This is slightly off the topic of the war crimes tribunals, but because you are a professor of politics, I wonder if you could comment on the Israeli elections, if you think simply that they will have any effect on the situation for the Palestinians. Does it matter who won, if it's Livni or Netanyahu?
Well, honestly speaking, I mean, the Palestinians were not following the Israeli elections very well. The Palestinians are still very occupied with the aftermath of the war. We just came out of a 3 weeks war, which was a very destructive war against the Palestinian civilians. As the ruins, the destruction, and the ashes of the war is still alive in the minds and in the life of the daily life of the Palestinians. But anyway, the Palestinians look at the Israeli election and the winner of these elections. That this is what we always hear, that different political parties in Israel are different faces for the same coin. They are not different from the right or the wing, the left, I'm sorry. The Israelis agree on three no's: no return to the 1967 borders, no division of East Jerusalem, and no return to the Palestinian refugees. These are the core Palestinian demands if there is going to be a final settlement to the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. So maybe some of them are talking politically nicely, and some of them are threatening the Palestinians with retaliation and war. But at the end of the day, basically, we are not going to get anything serious with regard to the peace process and a final settlement to the conflict.
Thank you so much for taking your time to speak with me, Dr. Abu Sada, Professor of Politics, Al Azhar University, Gaza City.
It's my pleasure.
The Hamas, Fatah, and leftist delegations in Cairo all this week preparing for the comprehensive national dialogue to mend fences between Hamas and Fatah is garnering reasonably positive results, despite the continued fallout from Khaled Mashal's suggestion that the PLO be replaced. The internal talks, along with the negotiations for a ceasefire with the Israelis, were stalled slightly while waiting for the results of the Israeli elections. Head of negotiations in the Palestine Liberation Organization, Dr. Saab Arakat, said that the Israeli voters did not vote for peace. And Dr. Mustafa Barghouti of the Palestinian Legislative Council and National Initiative said that the Israeli elections illustrate a new depth of racism and hatred. On the Palestine News Network for the 6th through the 12th of February, I'm Kristen S. with engineers Samir Saad and Shiraz Rishmawi. For more news, see English.pnn.ps.